Are we free to proceed this morning? Maybe it's kind of like the appearance of the first robin or the crocus popping through, but when I take my jacket off, that's probably a sign of early spring coming, I hope. Have you ever thought about the way that we, each of us through our lives, have pivotal moments? Times when we are confronted with a decision that might have an enormous impact on the remaining days and years of our lives. Often it is a time when we are maybe asked an important question that will have reverberations throughout our remaining days. Questions like, will you marry me? Or, how would you like to come to work for us? Those are some of the big ones. Sometimes they're not quite so dramatic, and often we don't realize it at the time what an important decision that was. We only recognize it and appreciate it as we look back on it. Peter, Andrew, John, and James. These are four disciples' names. Anybody else remember that? Philip, Thomas, never mind. They are having such a moment in the scene that we just heard read for us. The decision to follow this call of Jesus changes everything for them. They were just out there having a regular day, casting their nets, trying to bring in some fish, make a living. And as Jill did a great job this morning, as she pointed out, these were just four ordinary guys. But this was a pivotal moment. It changed everything for them, and here we are a couple thousand years later, we still remember their names. This was huge. So as we think about this passage, think about these four men, the first disciples of Jesus, and think about ourselves being right there with them. Because we see something right away. It's really important here in terms of how this works. Who is the initiator here? Did these guys go looking for Jesus and say, hey, can I follow you? The initiative all came from the Christ. And that wasn't business as normal in those days. Rabbis did not go out trying to find people to follow them. Matter of fact, it was the exact opposite of that. People had to show themselves worthy and to show that they would be, among all people, able to benefit greatly from spending time with this teacher, because they actually did live with the rabbi and learn by following this person. But in the case of Jesus, it's the reverse. Jesus has the initiative here. And so it is for every one of us in terms of our life with God. God is always the initiator. We are the responders. And this is illustrated so beautifully in this passage. We're not even used to that now. I mean, think about it, especially in recent years, how hard it is to get your kid into the college that you want them to go to. The lengths to which parents and teenagers go to get accepted to a highly esteemed college. Not only getting good grades and getting high scores on the SAT and now being involved in all kinds of community service stuff that you can put on your application, even making videos of yourself, whatever can be done to sort of sell yourself so that this school will accept you. Forget all that. It's not like that with Jesus. He picked four ordinary people going about their daily lives. Just an ordinary day. People like us. And what did he say? Well, you know, the Gospel of Mark is a very, what's the right word here? It's abbreviated. It's things happen quickly. Think how many times in your English translation it'll say immediately something happened or straight away. And so Jesus issues this call then to his disciples, and we get the abbreviated form. Immediately they dropped everything and followed him. These were interesting guys in a lot of ways, but still in most ways quite ordinary. You think about the different kind of personalities involved here. I mean, from reading the Gospels, we can see that Simon, later called Peter, was a pretty impulsive guy, rambunctious, often impulsive in wanting to plow ahead before he really understood. Andrew, sort of a true blue guy, very loyal, dependable. And then a couple of really rowdy guys. I mean, you don't get the name Son of Thunder for nothing. James and John, the Sons of Thunder. So all kinds of personalities were involved as well. So we can hear this as saying, your personality too. God will, you know, as Jesus taught, when he said, take my yoke upon you, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, that's saying that it's made just for you. And following Jesus then brought out the life that was appropriate for that person in relationship to Jesus. In other words, your basic personality doesn't need to change. God can use all kinds of people. I'm a great example of this. You know, I used to be terrified of public speaking. My wife is a college speech teacher, and she used to bring me in to teach the kids how to get over stage fright, basically. And now, of course, you can't shut me up. That's why we have long open worship sometimes. I got a lot of time to preach today. Just kidding. God will use you and me. God made us the way we are. That's something to rejoice in, to recognize that this light of Christ will pass through the prism of me and you and reflect that of God, which is appropriate for the person that we are. So, but it begins with a call, the initiative of God. That's still the case. What would lead a person to drop everything and follow Jesus? There's surely more to the story than we get in this abbreviated version of Mark. For these four ordinary people out making a living to drop everything and follow him, that would require some big time trust, wouldn't it? This is about trust as well. So again, as is almost always the case, we have to recognize that Jesus revealed to us a God that is so trustworthy that people are willing to stick their necks out in that kind of a way to follow him. Terry, I remember in Sunday school, in the early time that I was here, you showed us a documentary. It was about the horse whisperer. Do you remember that? About the many of you were part of that. Or maybe you saw the movie The Horse Whisperer with Robert Redford. Great movie. It's been a long time ago now, I guess. But it sort of tells the story of a guy named Monty Roberts who was a horse trainer and developed an entirely new method of doing this. The traditional way of training horses had been pretty brutal in many ways. It was a very domineering, often harsh and even violent. The idea of calling it horse breaking is significant. Often whips were used. Sometimes the horse's legs were tied up, and it was a very sort of a brutal thing to do to get this horse to break its spirit, essentially. But Monty Roberts learned something different. He had spent a lot of time in Nevada watching wild Mustangs out on the range and seeing how they communicated with each other, what the nonverbal language was among the herd of horses, and he learned some important things then that led him to an entirely different way of training horses. And he actually trademarked it and called it the join-up method. And he learned that the horses actually responded to something much more gentle. And if you remember from either the documentary or the movie Horse Whisperer, that's an important word, that this person would come among the horses and gradually approach them very gently. Spend time with them, learn what the verbal cues among horses were, and eventually would come alongside the horse. And if I remember right, sometimes this guy could be riding the horse within 30 minutes with this new method. And it sort of came down to this. There finally came a time when, after coming and being non-threatening and gentle with the horse, Monty Roberts would simply turn and walk away. And this was a crucial moment in the training of that horse, because now the horse is left with, do I want to follow this person? Is this person safe? Do I want to leave what I'm doing now and follow this person? And often the horse would make that decision, decide, yes, I want to join up. And from there, it was a piece of cake. It all finally came down to the gentleness, the safety, the communication. I'm safe. My point is that Jesus is the God whisperer. Think about it. Think about people who have been brutalized by Christianity. People who have been scared out of their wits by somebody shouting and pointing at them. And think about the strong yet gentle Spirit of Jesus that calls you and me. A safe voice. A trustworthy voice. I'm not finished yet. Doesn't that have something to say about us too? Let's repeat it. You become like the God you worship. You become like the Jesus you follow. That's the whole point, isn't it? We follow this person, and it tells us some really important things if we want to be what Jesus called fishers of men and women. Because discipleship is ministry. You can't separate the two. And following Jesus, just as it was for these guys, led then to being able to draw other people in, because other people then will experience the love, the gentleness, the trust, the safety. We're preaching the kingdom of God here. Remember how this passage started. Jesus announced this as good news, because this is how human beings and human social life and this whole planet will flourish if we decide to join up. We may not even have to do any preaching at all. Sometimes it just can be seen. This is the life. No wonder Jesus called this abundant life. No wonder he called it eternal life. It's filled with joy. Even in hard stuff, trust. Follow me, and I'll make you fish for men and women. Amen.